One of the things that I want to mention is, please, we do need some people to help with Lamb by Choice. You heard Guy say that we needed another person to be a wonderful centurion that can carry Jesus off the cross and out this door after Jesus dies. So if you got back problems, you're excused from that. But I'll say it one other way. I would prefer not to have my head drug along here. Looking forward to it. I think the stories of the Bible should jump more off the page than they do. I think sometimes as we look at our Bibles, it's kind of flat on the page and we read those words there and we say those are some wonderful words, but we don't flesh it out and see the people that are in the midst of the story. One of the reasons I'm glad we're doing a Lamb by Choice because it will flesh out some of these stories and it will open the door to something much deeper. I keep seeing the picture of a t-shirt that I want to get. And that t-shirt says, I'm different than other teenagers. I'm in my 50s. And as I keep seeing it, I guess it pops up because it knows how old I am. And that's why I keep seeing that advertisement. And I keep thinking, oh, I got to get that t-shirt. I got to get that t-shirt. But you see, I like for the stories to pop up some. I like for them to be more alive than just flat words on a page or however we're looking at our Bibles. It should be like those 3D books that kids have. If you give me one of those three, you know what I'm talking about? You turn the page and everything pops up off the page. It folds out and then there's this nice little thing you can slide back and forth and a string you can pull and you can open the page again and it pops out again. Yes, those books don't last more than 5 minutes with me. It's broken in 5 minutes because I've worked it out every which way that I can. To me, when I read the Bible, that's what should be happening when we read the Bible. That same type of thing popping off the page. So I want you to listen to this story, and I want your help today. I'm going to ask you to flesh this story out by painting the picture around us. Okay? It's okay as adults to use your imagination. It is okay. There's not a problem with that. So listen to this story. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Please don't forget, as we read this story, we know who the third person is. We know who that third person is who showed up on the road with these two people. Cleopas is the only one that we know the name for. We don't know the name of the other. We don't know whether it was a man or a woman. Could have been a husband and wife going back home. It could have been two of the men that walked around with Jesus that was not what we ended up calling the apostles, but just one of the disciples. The interesting thing to notice first off in this passage is that sometimes God keeps Jesus' presence hidden on the journey. Sometimes God keeps Jesus' presence hidden on the journey. Now, I don't know what it might have been like that day. They've lost all hope. They've lost everything that they thought they could trust in. The one that was to be their Savior, the one that was to be their Messiah, that was to throw off the Roman rule, and finally, once again, they could have their own kingdom and their own place and their own land, is dead. Maybe that's why they're walking to Emmaus. The story's over for them. There's nothing left. There's no hope now. And they just decide, well, we'll go back home. Walking down a dirty and dusty road. And as they walk along, someone comes up behind them. They're downcast. They're hurt. They're sad. Because God didn't allow them to recognize who this was with them. Jesus walks up behind him and says, "Hey, you look awful sad. What's the matter?" Could you just imagine this? Think about it. What do you mean, what's the matter? Where have you been? You're coming from Jerusalem just like we have. You mean to tell me you don't know the story? You don't know what has just happened in Jerusalem? How the fate of all Israel is now gone forever? You don't know that? Let us tell you about it. And they tell the whole story of Jesus, about how Jesus walked with them, teaching and miracles and healing. And they talk about what happened with the chief priest and those religious leaders that handed Jesus over to be crucified. And he died. And he is no more. And besides that, some of the women, they went to the tomb and they told us they came back and said they've seen angels and that Jesus is not there. And what does Jesus say to them? Jesus says, "How slow you are to learn." You see, these disciples They share their sadness with Jesus. And Jesus pretends not to know the story. Jesus pretends not to know what's happened, what has gone on. They poured their hearts out. And Jesus just listened. And then Jesus says, "How slow you are. How very slow you are to learn." Jesus asked them how they could not believe the Old Testament, and he opens those words to them. I want you to realize that when Jesus is sharing the scriptures with them, they do not have a New Testament. There is no such thing yet. The New Testament doesn't come in existence until the 300s. 300 years after Jesus before we have a New Testament. And Jesus says, "How slow you are to learn. Don't you know what Moses and the prophets wrote about? Don't you understand that?" And then look at what it says. It says that he starts with those very words and he shares to them everything about him in the scriptures. He shares everything with them. He opens all those. I don't know about you, but I'd have given anything to be on the road to Emmaus that day. What about you, huh? Would you want to be there and walk with Jesus, even though you don't know who that's who it is? And he's sharing the very words of Scripture, and he's saying, "See, Isaiah wrote about this. See what Amos had to say. See what Moses wrote in his books. See how it talks about me. See how it talks about that the Messiah must die." Well, they get to where they're going. And as is the custom in the Middle East and down through the whole Rift Valley, which goes on down into Africa, the custom is that you extend hospitality over and over and over again until the other person accepts it. You urge, the scripture says, they urged him to stay with them. It's getting late in the day. Don't go on about your journey. Stay here with us. Eat a meal with us. Stay. And Jesus, it says, once again, Jesus pretends like he's going on further. And they continue to urge. Now, I've thought some a little bit this week, and I haven't gotten anywhere with it. What does it mean that Jesus pretends not to know? And what does it mean that Jesus pretends he's going on further? I'm still working with that. What does it mean that God blinds their eyes in some way that they don't recognize who this is? They've been following him. They've been watching him. What does all that mean? But look at what happens. Jesus comes in and he goes to eat a meal with them. And they do something that's not really custom. Jesus goes to bless the meal. And it said that he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Have they ever seen that before? He probably said the same prayer that he's used before at the dinner table. And he broke it and he gave it to them. And what happened? Wow, look at who this is. He's right here with us. This is Jesus. Where'd he go? He's gone. And they start talking with one another and discussing with one another. And they say, "Gosh, didn't our hearts just burn within us as he talked to us from all of the scriptures? Didn't it just burn within us? How did we not recognize that was him?" I'll bet they did that 7 miles back to Jerusalem in record time. What do you think? downcast, discouraged. They're walking away from Jerusalem. I bet the 7 miles was the fastest anybody's ever done, 7 miles. They got back to Jerusalem to tell them. It's in the blessing of the meals that their eyes were opened. That's where it happened. It's in the blessing of the meal. And Jesus completely disappears. They realize what truly has happened, and their hearts are changed because of this experience. Their hearts are changed because they have met Jesus. How powerful is that? And they go back and they share about it. They go back and they share about it. And they tell the people in Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem say, hey, we know all about this. Jesus has come to see Peter. Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan's trying to keep up with me up there, keeping him awake today. This story is so exciting for me. It just continues to grow. It continues to be even more powerful. And you know what I wonder? How many times have we missed Jesus while we walked along? How many times have we gone somewhere and we haven't seen Jesus right there with us? And maybe even Jesus has said something to us and spoken to us, instructed us about something. And because we're caught up in our own self, in who we are and what's going on in our life, because we're caught up in that, we completely miss that Jesus was right there with us. Have you ever had that hindsight? You know, what do they say about hindsight? That's 20/20. I don't need glasses for hindsight, do I? Oftentimes I recognize the facts afterwards, like, wow, what an unbelievable thing has just happened, and I missed it the whole time I was there. Praise God that I come to understand, afterwards at least, but I miss it. Gosh, I've thought a couple of nights now as I've fallen asleep, I've thought about this scripture and I've thought about even making a bigger jump with this scripture. I want to be the reporter that talks to these two guys. I want to be the reporter that comes to them and says, hey, tell me about the story. Can you tell me what happened? Can you imagine watching these two people's faces as they explain to you the story? Yeah, we were walking along. We were walking along, going back home. It was all over with. All our hopes were gone. Well, yeah, but didn't you see? Yeah, we'll get there. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, we were walking along, and this guy says he doesn't know the story. So we tell him about the story. And then he looks at us and says, you don't understand, do you? Wait a minute, he's the one that doesn't understand because he didn't know what was going on. And I mean, can you imagine having a conversation with these two folks? And you see, we went in, and boy, we had to really bend his arm backwards to get him to stay and eat a meal with us. He was going to walk on, and he was going to go on. And we said, no, you got to come in, you got to come in. I experienced that hospitality when I was in Kenya. They have that same thing there, down through that Rift Valley from the Middle East on down into Africa. In the Rift Valley, that hospitality is key. They're not going to let you get away without treating you well. They're not going to let you get away without gaining 2 or 3 pounds at every meal. Okay? And they're going to urge you to eat more, and they're going to urge you to take more. And when you clean the plate for the second time, and they fill it up the third time, I finally got it. Don't clean the plate off. So I only cleaned that one about half off, and they looked at me and said, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? And I'm like, I'm going to be if I eat the rest of that plate. It was all great food. Great and wonderful food. It wasn't different than what we eat. It looked different on the table. But you see, they did the same thing with Jesus. They said, no, you've got to stay. Don't walk on. It's the end of the day. You're going to have a hard time finding another place. Come on, please, stay with us. Some of us in our culture, we're kind of like this, aren't we? No, that's okay. I don't want to impose upon you. I don't want to. But look at what happened. And their eyes were opened. Oh my gosh, we've seen that before. Oh my gosh, he's gone. Now, how do you explain that one? How do you explain that Jesus is gone? He's not here. He was here, wasn't he? He was right here, right? You saw him too, didn't you? Is that you? Is that what you're going to start doing? We talked to him out on the road. And where'd he go? I am convinced that Jesus shows himself to us over and over and over again. And so many times we fail to recognize it. So I ask you to think about this. Where has Jesus been present to you, yet hidden before your eyes were opened? Where has Jesus been present to you, yet hidden before your eyes were opened? I've clearly seen God in my life, and I have clearly heard God speak. Sometimes it might even be in the midst of a mall and lots of people around, and I hear someone speak my name. And I turn around to look, and there's nobody looking for me. Now I realize if I told this anywhere other than church, what would people be saying? Oh, man. John, you'd be coming for me, right? Let's get him and let's take him somewhere. He's not right up here. But folks, I want to let you know that Jesus does come to us. And sometimes later we realize it and we go, oh, didn't my heart burn? Because now I realize I was in the presence of Jesus Christ. These are not just words on a page for me, or on a screen since I'm using a tablet. These are not just words. These are stories. They're real people. We need to flesh them out. Where has Jesus been present to you? Where has Jesus been present to you? Yet he was hidden before your eyes were opened. Folks, he's there. Still this day, he's there, wanting to touch your heart, wanting to lift you up, wanting for you to say, wow, look at what I experienced. Look at what I experienced. It was God himself right here with me. Let us pray. Lord, it is a mystery how you work in the midst of this world. It's a mystery that we want to know, that we want to understand, that we want to, and sometimes there's no answer. And yet you present yourselves to us over and over again. And when we take the time to reflect, sometimes that's the only time we realize that you had been right there in front of us, and we had experienced you fully, but yet didn't know it at the moment. More, Lord, may we be surprised. These two were on the road to Emmaus. May we be surprised and flooded over with joy in such a way that we cannot hesitate but to run and tell someone else, we have just seen Jesus. We have just seen Jesus. Lord, help us not to miss that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.